morning. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. I have a tendency to repeat myself, and sometimes I think it's good, and sometimes I've been told that it's too much, but Paul said, for me to write the same things to you is grievous, but for you it is safe. So sometimes repetition is good. So I will just repeat that if you don't really appreciate this church, you should. I didn't go to Mexico, and we didn't go to Poland because we had no other place to go. We weren't trying to run away from this church. And believe it or not, you may have your own opinion, but it is not easy to come here, spend a few weeks, a couple months, and then leave. It's not. You're a family, and we really enjoy being here. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the good preaching. We enjoy the good singing. Like Debbie says, we enjoy being able to express exactly what we want to say. Enjoy being understood. Enjoy seeing people like this, you know, or saying amen. Because sometimes you don't get that, and you wonder, are they deaf, or am I just got the wrong word? Did I use the wrong example? So, we are thankful for all of you. And Brother Mihao asked me once again to thank all of you for your hospitality, for all your, for all the food and the friendship, and for putting up with his English. Like Debbie says, he understands now. Welcome to my world. So anyway, Mihao will be with us, be here in San Antonio, I think, until the 3rd. So he'll be here one more week. He leaves a week from Monday. So if you haven't got to know him, like Debbie said, talk to him. He has, maybe ask him for his testimony. I'll put him on the spot. He can give his testimony in English. Anyway, he's been a real blessing to us, and we're glad he's here. I want to read from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious and your holy word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the Bible we have in our hands, in our own language, and for the freedom we have to not only read it, but to preach it. Thank you for saving our souls and for this opportunity we have today to meet again and hear your word. For that you bless your word, open our hearts, give me your words and only your words. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 12, we have a phrase here, as good as dead. As good as dead. Abraham was as good as dead. And I'm saying, it may sound pretty brutal, but I don't see any 100-year-old people in this room today. And if you reach 100, I'm sorry, but you will probably be in agreement that you are as good as dead at 100 years old, right? 100 years old? That's old, right? By any account. And yet, not only was he 100 years old, God gave him a son at 100 years old. And Josh told us last night that no doubt Abraham was just on cloud nine. I don't think anybody else would be, but Abraham was. I know my wife wouldn't be. No way. That's it. Just getting more grandkids. No more kids. But Abraham was 100 years old, as good as dead, and God gave him a son. And that's the story of the Bible. God just has this desire to take hopeless situations and bring victory out of them. Not only does he take hopeless situations, sometimes God even just allows them. He even forces them to happen and forces people like you and me to just put all of our trust in God and have no other recourse so we can say we know this was done by God. God could have given Abraham a son a lot sooner, but he didn't. He waited and he waited and he waited until he was as good as dead. And his wife was also as good as dead, 90 years old, and she had a child. That's all through the Bible. And yet, what do we find? We find it in the book of Romans where God tells us that Abraham, he believed in hope against hope, right? Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. It's a beautiful passage even to explain salvation. It says, and being not weak in faith, I'm sorry, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. There was no hope even when God told him because Sarah was barren. I mean, if God had given him a child right then, it would have been amazing. But God didn't. He just waited a little longer and waited until he was as good as dead. And he said, okay, now it's time. Now I'm going to give him a son. And now there'll be no doubt that it was nothing human. It was the mercy, the blessing of God. And that's what God does all through the Bible. So I thought about this phrase, as good as dead. And the first thing that comes to my mind is in the New Testament. Because we find a situation that is probably one of the most how can I say it? The worst situation probably in the history of mankind, when sinful, wicked, ungodly men stood at the foot of a cross and mocked the Creator. Mocked the very one who made them, the very one who gave them breath, the very one who made their brains work every day, the very one who kept their heart pumping day after day after day. And they stood there and they had the audacity to mock him and say, if you are the Son of God, save yourself. Come down from the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Do you know why they did that? He was as good as dead. He was nailed to a cross. They were sure as they could be that it was all over. And that gave them such confidence. Yeah, man. We can say, oh, when he was alive and walking on the earth, they didn't mock him. Oh, they didn't like him. But they didn't mock him like that. They didn't stand there like that and just mock him to his face. They did things in secret. They did things in hiding. They were just really, really secretive. But when he was on the cross, nailed, seemingly helpless, Oh, now they have got all the courage in the world. I face that too sometimes. I'm standing there with Brent or with Bill. And nothing happens. But they walk off. And all of a sudden, people got some guts. They want to come and face me and try to, you know, threaten me. Where were you all ago? You get all kinds of courage when you seem helpless. When it looks like you have no recourse. Man, the world just has all kinds of courage to mock and to criticize. And they thought he was as good as dead. And so they had all kinds of courage. Well, the fact of the matter is, he did die. Yeah, amen. He did die. He did shed his blood. He did say, it is finished. He did give up the ghost. He did it for you. He did it for your sins. Because had you been at the foot of the cross, no doubt you would have been mocking just the same. We don't like someone telling us our sin. We don't like someone telling us we're going to have to face judgment. We don't like someone telling us he knows our hearts and our thoughts. We don't like someone telling us that we are just as wicked as the next guy or just as wicked as the murderer. We don't like anybody telling us that if we just think adulterous thoughts in our heart, we are adulterers in our heart. We don't want to believe that. And that's what Jesus did, and they hated him for it. They loved him when he fed the hungry. Oh, he was popular then, but when he started speaking, all of a sudden, he's public enemy number one because he knew their hearts. And he told it like it was. And so he died. But you know what? As dead as he looked, and he was dead 3 days and three nights, in that tomb, with a stone rolled in front of it, with a guard in front of the tomb to make sure. There was no doubt. It wasn't a fainting spell. He wasn't epileptic. He died. He gave up the ghost. His heart stopped. He was dead by all ways you can count it. He was dead. The man Christ Jesus died for your sins. Amen. And yet, 3 days later, he wasn't dead anymore. He rose from the dead. He came out of that tomb. And God says, it says there in the book of Acts, it says he was crucified and laid in the tomb. And it says, but God raised him up. But God raised them up. You know what? Jesus Christ is alive today. Amen. I don't know what you think about him. I don't know what you know about him. But I'm telling you, he's alive today. Amen. If the world had one-tenth of the witnesses of any type of evolution that we have of the resurrection, they'd have some kind of argument. But they don't have any witnesses. They have no eyewitnesses of evolution. They have zero eyewitnesses. They can't even claim it because they themselves say no one was there, but they know it happened. And we say, no, it didn't happen because you have no witnesses. And they say, where is God? Jesus didn't rise from the dead. We say, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. There were eyewitnesses. We have it written down. Have you ever read a book? Anybody who says they saw evolution take place? We have no book. We have no record of it. We have a record written down. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He was as good as dead, but not anymore. He liveth forevermore. And he's coming back one day. But you know, there are a lot of examples of this idea. As good as dead. Hopeless, impossible situations. All through the Bible. Just a few that I'll want to mention. Some may seem more hopeless than others. But you know, the children of Israel were in Egypt for over 400 years. And they were just without hope. I dare say that most of them thought they would never, ever get out of Egypt. And they had no chance. They were just in bondage and no future, no chance, nothing on the horizon that made them think, well, maybe now. It looked like it was hopeless. And then God decides to deliver them, and he sends Moses. But in my opinion, Moses was as good as dead, because not only was he already, when he finally got to Egypt, he was already up there in age, but Moses himself said, they're not going to listen to me. Moses didn't even have any hope. Moses didn't think there was any chance of it happening. He said, they won't listen. They won't believe me. And then he said, I can't even say anything. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And so I can just hear God saying, oh, then that's great. It's so hopeless. Now I can do something with you. It's so hopeless because, see, before that, Moses tried it on his own, didn't he? He goes out there and he sees this Egyptian and beating a Hebrew, and he kills the Egyptian and says, yeah, now, because God told me I'm going to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, now it's going to happen. I've got the power. I'm going to start some kind of a revolution here. And yet, went out the next time, and then there was two Hebrews beating each other, and they didn't appreciate him intervening. All of a sudden, he realizes he has to run for his life because now they know he killed someone. God didn't want to use Moses in the way Moses thought. God had to wait and wait and wait until the situation seemed hopeless. We have Gideon, one of my favorite ones. I said a while ago, sometimes God just makes things worse and more hopeless. And we have Gideon, and he has an army. And he's going to go fight a battle against the Midianites, right? And he's got 32,000 men. And most of us would say, that's good, but maybe we find some more. Maybe we can, have a draft and get some more. Let's get some more soldiers, just to make sure. Get a few more tanks, get a few more men, Maybe ask our allies to help us out a little bit. Let's go on this, let's recruit some more. God didn't do that. God said, that's just too many people. When did that ever happen in a battle? When in the world in the battle did the general say, you know what? We just have too many people. Half of you just go home. He got down to 300 men. Gideon's army was as good as dead, I'm telling you. 300 people? If you had the choice which army you want to be a part of, it's a no-brainer. You wouldn't choose 300 people. Unless you've read the Bible. Then you realize, well, who are these 300 people? Who are these 300 men? And who are these 32,000 men? Well, we have David. Another one of my favorites. David. When he went up against Goliath, he was as good as dead, wasn't he? Goliath says, I will feed your flesh to the birds and to the beasts of the field. Have you ever had anybody tell you something like that? That can make you a little bit scared, can it? Yeah, I'm going to squash you like a bug. Now, most of you don't have that problem, but when someone tells me I'm going to squash you like a bug, I sometimes take it seriously. I mean, I've seen some people that can do that to me. I mean, I have no doubt they could do it. And yet David, he says, that's okay. I'm coming in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He was as good as dead, but hey, God didn't have any problem with that. God can take someone as good as dead and say, I can use you.
Amen.
I can take you and I can defeat that giant. And that giant's going to fall down dead, even though you are as good as dead. It's all through the Bible. I talked about Esther last night. Remember the story of Esther. And Mordecai tells her, look, you know, maybe this is what God wants you to do. You know, maybe you're here for such a time as this. And so Esther says, well, send Mr. Mordecai that I'm going to go. You guys pray for me and I'll go to the king. And then she says, and if I perish, I perish. I have no doubt in my mind that Esther, in her own mind, thought, I'm as good as dead.
Right.
She had no assurance. I mean, she was the queen, but the king has a little bit more power than her in this situation. And so she went to the king not knowing how she would be received. And she says, if I die, I die. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the king and I'm going to try. And if I walk in and he receives me, great. But if he doesn't, it's off with my head. But hey, she was as good as dead. And yet, because she was willing to go in there to the king, she saved her people.
Amen.
We have the stories of Daniel in the lion's den. These are not just bedtime stories, folks. And if you tell your kids these stories like they're some kind of fables, some kind of bedtime stories, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. These people were as good as dead, and God gave them victory, and God gave them some faith, and God used them in a mighty way to show, to help you and to help me face these situations when we feel like we're as good as dead. And so Daniel finds out that he can't pray to God unless he's willing to face the lion. And so Daniel, the next morning, goes to his window, opens his window, and starts praying. He didn't even hide. Shame on us. He opened the window. And he prayed. He knew. He was as good as dead. These guys meant business. They were not just playing around. They were not playing games. They were brutal. And they found out, and sure enough, he goes to the lion's den. He was as good as dead. And yet, once again, God brought him out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not a bedtime story. I mean, tell the bedtime, fine, but it's not just a little story. These guys had some guts. They had some courage. Yeah, God can deliver us, and he will somehow. I'm not sure how they knew he would, but you know what they then said? If he doesn't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything.
Right.
How about that for some courage and some fortitude? How about that for some guts and say, you know what? It doesn't change anything. It won't change how I worship God. It won't change how I praise God, how I thank God. It won't change how I serve God. I'm going to do it no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances may be. I'm as good as dead. But God delivered them.
Amen.
So God does this all the time. We get to the New Testament and we have this young church, the first church in Jerusalem. Now, maybe for some of you, 120 people in a church is amazing. Now, it is grabbing for me. It's like really amazing. But 120 people in this church is great. But, you know, go down the street a block or two, and there's another church there, and up the street and across town. And here, this was it. 120 people in the church in Jerusalem. That's where it started. And in my opinion, they were as good as dead. I mean, what's 120 people in the Roman Empire? I mean, it wouldn't take much to wipe those guys out, right? 120 people, and yet, what happened? Peter preaches, 3,000 people get saved in one day. And the enemy thought, oh, Jesus has died. There's only 120 people left of them. Under control. No, It wasn't under control. It went out of control. It got out of control real quickly. 3,000 people, and then soon after that, 5,000 people. And look what has happened all over the world. And they were as good as dead. We have Paul in the Philippian jail. He had already been beaten. And it says there, I think, that they laid many stripes. Now, I don't know how many of you have been beaten for preaching the gospel. You get beat by your dad for, you know, being bad, it doesn't count. If you get spanked, it doesn't count. I'm talking about getting beaten. Beaten like Paul was in jail. Beaten with many stripes over and over again, and he's in jail. He was as good as dead. And believe me, I think that all of us, after the second or third strike, we'd be saying, okay, I'm dead. I'm out of here. This is it. It's over. I mean, I've been there a few times. One time, remember in Leonville, we were preaching on the street, and it's one of these typical Mexican streets, so it's just a dirt road with lots of rocks here and there. And it's actually a bus route, okay? And it's a downhill bus route, and these buses come down every, 15 or 20 minutes, but we've been in this area for about maybe 2 or 3 months. I'm not sure how long, but after a week or two, everybody knows us, especially the priest, and he's telling everybody, the worst things about us, telling everybody to threaten us and to run us off and do all kinds of crazy things. But this bus is coming down the street. The street is, wide enough for probably 3 or 4 buses, but it's come down the middle of the street. I'm on the side of the street, and this bus starts coming right towards me, going about 40 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, that's kind of strange. But he really was. I mean, and he didn't stop. He didn't. He kept swerving more and more towards me. And at the last second, I jumped back against the houses, and he runs right by my feet. Trust me, I was as good as dead. That's what happens. And after 3 or 4 beatings, I'm sure Paul thought, that's it. Coming to see you, Lord. It's over. And yet he lived through it. But then he gets into jail. And he's sitting there in jail, his hands and feet in stocks with Silas. And what happens? An earthquake. You ever been in an earthquake? Probably not in Texas. We were one in Mexico. We didn't know it was an earthquake. It was so crazy. But I am no doubt in my mind that if we were in a real earthquake and the house starts shaking and the bars opening, we would say we are as good as dead. And yet, God just delivered him again. Over and over and over. He was stoned, left for dead outside the town. He gets up, shakes off the stones, goes back in. All the time. Then these guys, these enemies, they decide they want to kill him so badly, they're going to make an oath. They're not going to eat or drink anything until he's dead. They probably thought, yep, he's as good as dead. I mean, how many of you would just keep on fasting forever? And no, man, you would find some way to kill this guy. If you made an oath like that, you would stop at nothing. That's how much we like to eat. But it didn't work. He was as good as dead, but he didn't die. God kept him alive. Over and over. I think of Brother Lindell. I came back this time, and I think for the first time I actually read the letter you wrote in 1969 when you came back from Guatemala and left the name Baptist. And I'm sure you probably thought, I'm as good as dead. I'm done. I'm done preaching. I'm done doing anything worthwhile because I've lost all my friends. I've basically signed my death warrant. No one's going to stick by me now, but hey, what do you do? And yet, God blessed that. Amen. Then he had the first mission conference. I wasn't here for it, but I hear it was pretty crazy. I was told there was 40 people in the church and 10 of them wanted to go to the mission field. And the devil probably thought, they're as good as dead. They can't support 10 people. And then some of them left because they had all the money and they didn't want to be left holding, you know, all the responsibilities. They left and the devil said, oh, they're as good as dead. This church is going to die before it gets off the ground. I don't know how many people have said it's as good as dead. Probably those who have left this church over stupid reasons have said it's as good as dead. It ain't going to make it. You guys keep doing crazy things like having no denominational name. You guys keep preaching on the street and you keep taking stands for righteousness and you guys keep doing this and doing that. You're not going to make it. It's not going to work. And yet, by the grace of God, here we are. Going back to Leon. Back in 1986, after 2 years of drought, of just soul-searching and discouragement and questioning our own selves and wondering what in the world God is doing, we were as good as dead. Now, what's going to happen with us? We are just spinning our wheels. And then God just opened the windows of heaven. I'm telling you, unless you've gone to Leon, you cannot understand what God did in that city. It is just amazing. It there's no way to describe it well, maybe like Michal does. Wow. Just wow. Bible studies night after night till 11, 12 o'clock at night. Almost every night of the week. And every week the Bible study grows. More and more people come. Aunts, uncles, friends, relatives, co-workers. Doesn't matter. Just couldn't get... We didn't have enough manpower to take care of all the Bible studies. And that... Back in 1986, though, we were as good as dead. I mean, it was me and Debbie... Bill and Cindy at the beginning, and it's like, we're as good as dead. It was hard writing letters back then to you folks. We were as good as dead. Man, God had mercy on us. We went to Poland and started learning Polish. We were as good as dead. Somehow God graciously allowed me to learn it quite quickly and quite well, but not for everybody. For Debbie in the beginning was very tough. And I'm sure at times you thought, I'm as good as dead. I am not going to get this. And if you can't communicate in the country you're in, you feel pretty helpless. We don't preach in English in Poland. We never preached a single sermon in Poland in English. Our first sermon was in Polish. Michal didn't hear it, and he's glad he didn't, but there's just so many examples. Debbie mentioned this couple, Sebastian and Asha. I met him on the street. He had marriage problems, serious marriage problems. You know, the Facebook infidelity problem stuff. It was just serious. It was a disaster. His marriage was falling apart and his wife wouldn't even talk to us. I didn't know his wife at all. She wouldn't talk to us. And after a few weeks, I said, look, she won't accept the Bible study. All I can offer, all I can suggest is that me and my wife come to your house, and if she's there, we'll just try to talk to her. You ever done that before? That's kind of gutsy, and that's kind of crazy. You're in some woman's house, and she walks in from work, and she doesn't know you, and you're there to tell her that she needs to make things right with her husband? It was good as dead. Debbie's shaking all the way out there. Joe, what is she going to do when she walks in and sees us in her house? I don't know. But hey, what have we got to lose? They're as good as dead. They're on the way to divorce. It's not going to make it unless God does something. And she walks in and goes straight to her room and closes the door. It's over, right? So me and the husband told Debbie, why don't you just go knock on the door and see if she'll talk to you. Send Debbie there, right? Send Debbie. I'm not going in there. No way. I've been beat up by a woman before. I don't want to have that again. If I have scars somewhere, just ask Josh. Man, that lady, she beat me so hard over the head on the street that she broke her arm. I am hard-headed. Just ask my wife. So I send Debbie in there. And Debbie walks up to the door, knocks on the door and says, can I come in? She opens the door with a big smile. Sure, come in. It was as good as dead. This guy, before I went out there, kept writing me text. This isn't going to work. How is this going to work? I don't know, but we're going to try. No, but all we can do is try. God is able. Amen. Long story short, she got saved.
Amen.
She got saved before he did. I'm not sure he's saved yet. He says he is, but I'm not even sure about it. But she got saved. She gave a testimony that was pretty amazing. Anyway, you all have experiences of the same kind. You've all been in situations in your family, in your marriage, at work, in your ministry, and wherever, and you thought, I'm as good as dead. There's no hope. I'm not going to make it. It's not going to work. I'm not going to get this job, or I'm not going to keep this job, or I'm not going to live. I'm going to die, and I'm not going to get over this sickness. And there's been lots of those. If you just think about it, you can probably think of several dozen situations when you were as good as dead.
Yeah.
And so, I have just a few questions. Do you think you're as good as dead? In other words, have you given up? Know when Jesus goes to heal Jairus' daughter, Jairus comes and says, my daughter she's sick. She's dying. Come and heal her. He says, I'll come. And as he's going, they send a message saying, don't bother him. She's dead. Is that how you are sometimes in your situations? Do you say, it's too late? It's over. It's dead. I can't revive my marriage. I can't save my parents. I can't get a victory over this sin. I can't get a victory over this problem. It's over. There's no hope. It's as good as dead. So forget it. And I'm telling you, what I just said today, all these examples are just a few, a drop in the bucket of the examples where God took a hopeless situation and by His grace and by His power brought victory out of it. Even when everybody said it's as good as dead. There's no hope. Jairus' daughter lived. They said, no, don't bother. Don't bother him. Don't bother him. There's no point. How many times do we say that? Let's not go back to that street. That was a waste. Let's not try to talk to that person again. He was a waste. How many times did it take you to get saved? Did you get saved the first time you heard it? I didn't want to know what you thought the first time you heard the gospel. Do you think that it's hopeless? That God can't revive your heart. God can't restore your marriage. God can't restore your children. And God can't bring victory out of what looks like defeat. Because all you have to do is just believe that God can still give a victory. All you have to do is just keep doing God's will. Just keep on going. Keep on fearing Him. Keep on serving Him. Keep on praying. Keep on preaching. Keep on loving. Keep on forgiving. Keep on whatever it takes, because God can still give victory. It's not over. It's not without hope. It's not hopeless. It's not impossible. You think maybe God can't send any more missionaries? God can't use you? It's just no way. It's not over. There's always hope. If you're a Christian tonight, today is not tonight, this is morning, isn't it? If you're a Christian this morning, my next question is, do you realize that you really are as good as dead? You may be healthy. You may look strong. You may eat all the right things, exercise just like you're supposed to. But in reality, you are as good as dead. It's just one heartbeat away from eternity. We're not as strong as we think we are. And we are not in control of everything. You may think you have it all figured out. All the right diet, and all the right exercise, and all the right things, and all the right seat belts, and hey, and that's all great. I'm not against it. But at the end of the day, you're as good as dead. And God decides. God has numbered your days. And so, what are you doing with the time you have left? What are you doing with it? Are you so sure that you still have many more years to do something that you're just putting it off until a later time? I'm telling you, you're as good as dead. You have today. That's all you have. You have this moment. Amen. By the grace of God, you'll get tomorrow. And you ought to plan for tomorrow. But don't put off today and call it just planning for the future. You ought to be living for God today. Amen. You ought to be doing what's right today. Amen. Plan for the future. I mean, great. Get a retirement if you need one. Plan for retirement, but you might not make it to that. And all you're going to have at the end is that you plan for retirement. That's all you're going to have in your portfolio in heaven? Is that you were a good planner for retirement? Or that you didn't care about retirement, you wanted just to play? Whatever your desire is, you better do something for God today. Because at the end of the day, the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive what we have done in our bodies, whether good or bad. At the judgment seat of Christ, not everything is going to count on your account. Not everything is going to look good. Some things will be wood, hay, and stubble. Are you going to suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ? Is everything going to get burned up? Are you going to have something to show for your time and your efforts and your thoughts and your meditation? You're as good as dead. You better think about what counts for God today. Are you going to have, we sang the song, bringing in the sheaves. Are you going to be bringing the sheaves with you when you come to see the Lord Jesus? Are you going to be empty-handed? We've seen the song, Must I Go and Empty-Handed. You have a choice. You can go empty-handed Or you can bring your sheaves with you. It depends on whether you realize you are really as good as dead. But maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you are without God's forgiveness. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a good chance you're lost and without God. And without His forgiveness. And unreconciled to God. So my question to you is, are you aware that you really are as good as dead? You may not make it home tonight.
Right.
You think people your age don't die? You think only stupid people your age die? Smart people die, just like you, at your age. And there's no explanation why. It just happens sometimes. You cannot control it. You do your best. You do your best to control it, but you can't. Because you're as good as dead. Your life is but a vapor. The Bible says that we go and we make plans. And we say we're going to go here. And we're going to go there. And we're going to do business. And we're going to do this and that. And we're going to come back. And we're going to have all these plans. And God says, what? Don't you know your life is but a vapor? We have the story of the rich man in the book of Luke. He says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. A lot of people saying that today. Everything is cool. I mean, we live in America. The capital of ease. The capital of merriment. I mean, this is the place to just enjoy life. Young people say it. Old people say it. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You're going to leave everything behind. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Everything that you have in your hands will be right here when you leave. And if you're lost, not only will you leave those things behind, you will face God who created you, the God who you have rebelled against, the God who you have probably hated on many occasions, the God who you have cursed and blamed for every wrong thing that's happened to you, the God who you have disobeyed, the God whose name you've taken in vain, the God whose law you have broken day after day after day, because you are as good as dead right now. What are you going to do about your situation? Because you're going to die and face God. I am no prophet. I don't know when you're going to die. But neither are you. You know nothing more than I do about the day of your death. We are completely ignorant of the day of our death. And that's why the Bible says, teach us to number our days.
Amen.
And God, help me to be aware that I am as good as dead. Are you aware of it? Because if you don't, if you're not aware of it, you need to today. And you need to get saved. You need to get your life right. You need to start serving God. You need to get right with your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your neighbors. You need to start getting serious about doing something worth doing. Because, like everyone else, you are as good as dead. Amen. God bless you.